you hear me?
Yes.
All right. How's everybody doing today? You guys survived the monsoon this morning? It's a really special Sunday for a number of reasons. Number one is that, I don't know if you knew this, but we have two different headsets here at the church. So we have one for the normal peasants like me, Pastor Ken, guest speakers. And we have one for the high anointed appointed one, Pastor Ron. And so when I went to get my mic this morning, they accidentally or on purpose gave me Pastor Ron's. So I'm definitely stretching it out this morning. My head's a little bit bigger. So it's going to be great. So hopefully that'll seep onto me and I'll be able to preach just a little bit better. The second reason today is a special day is because this is, in our church, the most important Sunday of the entire year. The Sunday after Thanksgiving has a special place in our hearts here at Every Nation Tallahassee because it is probably our lowest attended of the entire year. And so this is my fourth year getting to preach the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and I am so delighted. And while y'all were out eating, enjoying time with your friends and family, watching football, I was locked in my prayer closet, fasting and praying and weeping for you all so that God would please speak to me so I can talk to your people. No, I had a good time too. But so I get the privilege, while everyone else is relaxing, I get to stress about what am I going to preach? What does God want to say on Sunday? So let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, we honor you this morning. I just want to take a moment to reverence you and say, God, I'm in awe of you. You're amazing. You're wonderful. I can't even believe we have a church. I can't believe you let me be on staff. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, who traveled this last week for Thanksgiving? Anybody? Put your hands up high. Hands up high. So, we traveled to Orlando, which is a simple 4-hour trip, but with a baby in Thanksgiving traffic, it took us about 6.5 hours to get down. And one of the things I hate the most in the entire world is traffic. Coming to a standstill on the freeway is my least favorite thing in the world. If God wanted to punish me, my hell, my personal hell, would be standstill traffic. Just move a little bit and then stop. Move a little bit and then stop. And it's really crazy. I almost lose my salvation every time there's traffic because I get so mad and everything in all the flesh and the anger and the bitterness and the rage comes out. And then KJ was crying and screaming, and it was crazy. It was awful. And then on the way back, we're like, you know what? We're going to leave midday on Saturday. So guess what? There'll be nobody on there. Everyone's going to leave on Sunday. But we didn't know that, well, I forgot that FSU is playing Florida in Gainesville. So everyone in Orlando is going up to Gainesville, and we had to take back ways, and again, it took us about 6 hours. So we left at 11, got back at about 6 o'clock at night. So, yeah, was not fun. But, you know, thank God, the Seminoles won. So I got to watch the game in my own house, so that was great. But today I want to finish up our series on being thankful. And we've heard 3 really good sermons on being thankful. And last week, I'm not going to lie, that guy was unbelievable. Who was here last week? Anybody? So Pastor Kyle Bailey came and he just gave a word. When he got on stage, I'm like, this is going to go one of two ways. This is going to be the worst sermon I've ever heard or the best sermon. And it was fantastic. And I was so thrilled by that. But he talked about how God is near to the brokenhearted. and that when God is near you, you have always a reason to be thankful. And so today I want to talk a little bit about what he started, about the difference between biblical thankfulness and worldly thankfulness. Now, they're both good, but one is better. We need worldly thankfulness. Worldly thankfulness is, I'm thankful I have a car. Or if you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful that we have food to eat. I'm thankful that there's breath in my lungs. And it's good. It's good, but it's not the ultimate thankfulness. Worldly thankfulness, if we're not careful, we can get caught in worldly thankfulness. But unfortunately, worldly thankfulness is mostly about experiences, circumstances, and comparison to other people. So it's, I'm thankful I have a car because some people don't have a car. Or I'm thankful I'm in good health because I know there are people who are not in good health. And I got the opportunity when I was younger to travel around the world. And I remember going to Fiji and the Philippines. And you see just tremendous luxury and wealth in these other nations. But you also just see the slums and people literally living on trash heaps, with nothing, no running water, no electricity. And it makes you very thankful for about 20 minutes. And then you get hungry. You're like, okay, what are we going to eat? Okay, we're overseas. What are we going to eat? But it's short-term thankfulness. And so what I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants to bring to me and bring to us is not that we would have worldly temporary thankfulness based on circumstances, but that we would have a biblical, godly thankfulness that is based on the person of Jesus Christ in our relationship with God. And this is the thankfulness that we see throughout the Bible that lets the heroes of the Bible go through unbelievable circumstances. Why Paul the Apostle, right in Philippians, he can preach and he can write this letter and say, even though I'm in chains, I'm thankful and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're going to look at the two today. So worldly thankfulness is not bad. We need to be thankful for what we have, but we must go deeper. Worldly thankfulness is always based on a situation or a circumstance. Biblical thankfulness is a spiritual discipline based on the holy fear of the Lord. I was exhausted last night. I went to bed maybe at 10:30. As soon as the game was over, we dove into bed, went straight to sleep. And at 2:30 in the morning, sweet Jesus woke me up. And I felt him say, come spend time with me. I want to put something in your spirit. I want to impart something to you that you can impart to the people at church. And I really wanted to go to sleep. I was really tired. But I got up, and I remember I spent all night with the Lord, praying, and the Lord ministered to me, and he started connecting the dots between two things that I would never have put together, the fear of the Lord and thankfulness. The fear of the Lord and thankfulness. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit today. The first scripture is Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. Okay, in this one verse, there are two types of fear, right? He says, don't be afraid because God's going to test you with the fear of the Lord, which will keep you from sinning. So we see that the fear of the Lord is not the same thing as being afraid. The fear of the Lord, real simply, is respect, awe, and a fear, being terrified of losing relationship and the presence of God. And so many of us, and myself included, my biggest temptation most of the time is losing that admiration, that awe, that tenderness, that hunger, that passion for the things of God and for God himself. So many times I'll get up and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray, or I'll come to church, I'll go to a Bible study, or I'll lead a Bible study, I'll preach a sermon, but the awe, the fear of the Lord is nowhere to be found. And there was a extremely successful minister back in the 1980s who had, I think, one of the largest churches in North America. And he ended up falling morally. He cheated on his wife, and he committed some fraud, some financial fraud, and he went to jail for 5 years. And in jail, the Lord began to speak to him. And the Lord showed him that, he said, "Son, you've loved me the whole time, but you stopped fearing me. That's the reason you sinned." You see, every Christian that has been saved by God loves God, at least somewhat. But what keeps us from sin is the fear of the Lord. And when you fear the Lord and when you respect the Lord, you can't help but being thankful for him. The Lord throughout my life has put several powerful men of God, mentors in my life. And my first test every single time is to first respect them, and then being thankful for them is really easy. God wants, needs, deserves, is worthy of our respect, our fear, our reverence. And then thankfulness is easy after that. Because when you respect and love and worship God, he's near you, and it's easy to be thankful when God is near you. And I remember this morning, 2:30, the Lord was convicting me, showing me areas where I was nonchalant with his presence, areas where maybe I had gone hardened or calloused or maybe taken him for granted or maybe tried to perform instead of running to him, getting on my knees, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Even if you do nothing for me, you are worthy of my praise and respect." The fear of the Lord. And there's a connection. It's like a chain reaction. This is what happens is when we lose the fear of the Lord, then we end up losing thankfulness or gratitude. We become ungrateful, and then we always end up in idolatry and sin. Romans 1:21, very familiar passage. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Do you see the chain reaction? They knew God, but they didn't fear him. They didn't respect him. They took him for granted. And because of that, they weren't thankful for him. And because they weren't thankful for him, their hearts were darkened, and they fell into tremendous, tremendous sin. So this morning, we can't just be, "Wow, I have a car, I'm thankful. Wow, I have a family, I'm thankful." We need a thankfulness that is rooted in the fear and the respect for an almighty God. Yes. The fear of the Lord keeps us from sin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is what needs to be preached throughout this country. Yes. There's many people who preach the love of God, but the fear of God is never preached. Right. And in my own life, I've only ever seen fruit when the fear of the Lord hits me. When I put myself down and raise him up and say, "God, your way be done, your will be done, more of you, less of me." That's when joy comes. That's when thankfulness comes. That's when insecurities melt away. That's when sin patterns fall away. When the fear of God grips me. When the fear of God grips me. And if you do not fear God, you cannot be thankful for him. If you do not fear God, you can't be thankful for him because he's not near you. He's not near you. God is near those that fear the Lord. I didn't put the scripture, but there's literally a scripture in Psalms that says, "Those that fear the Lord, I draw near to." That's right. Psalms 112, verse 1 and 2. "Praise the Lord," listen to this, "how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed." Now, you could preach a whole sermon on these two verses about the generational transfer that happens when you fear the Lord. But the first verse is the joy that comes when you fear the Lord. the thankfulness that comes, because when you fear the Lord, when you respect the Lord, when he invites you into his presence, you realize very quickly that I should be dead. I deserve hell. I deserve to die. I don't deserve to be here. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Everything I give him is filthy rags. And so your first thankfulness is, thank God I'm alive. Thank you, you didn't kill me. And then everything else is a cherry on top. You forgave me. Now you gave me a family. You gave me a car. You gave me two cars. You gave me a little baby boy. Everything else stems from there, but it's the fear of the Lord that brings joy, right? We often, and this is my big temptation as a Christian, is I will go down the list of my circumstances, and if those start crumbling, then the last resort is, well, at least I'm saved, right? So I have a job. Oh, I lost my job. I have a great marriage. Oh my gosh, my marriage is falling apart. Well, you know, at least I'm in good shape. Well, you know, I lost both my legs, whatever. You know, it's like, and then finally, well, at least I'm saved. That's totally backwards. We should start with, I deserve to be melted in the holiness of Almighty God, but instead he saved me and died for me, and that's enough. And now everything else is wonderful and beautiful, and the joy of the Lord is truly my strength. The fear of the Lord. And if thankfulness is something that slips in and out of your life, like it does my life, God so convicted me of this morning. It's because we don't fear the Lord. Joy and thankfulness come from fearing God. And I think one of our greatest temptations is taking God for granted. I mean, the angel Lucifer literally was worshiping, leading the heavenly host, worshiping God. He knew God. He was worshiping God. But instead of respecting and having a fear for the Lord, he took it for granted and he wanted to be God. And he fell. Adam and Eve walking in the garden, they were with God. They were perfect in his presence. But instead of letting that be enough for them, letting him decide right and wrong, they took him for granted. And they reached out and ate of the fruit, saying, I am God. They rebelled against God. Many Christians love God, but they do not fear God. They do not fear God. If you fear God, how can you love the things that put Jesus on a cross? How can you love the nails that were driven through his hands? How can you love the thorns that were pushed into his skull? How can you love the very sin that was the spear that stabbed Jesus? How can you love that? How can you be okay? How can you slip in and out of sin? How can I slip in and out of sin? It's because we don't fear God. We truly don't care. And we wonder why we're not thankful. It's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 23:17 through 18 says, do not let your heart envy sinners. See, that's comparison. That's worldly. He's got more money. He's more handsome. He's got this. She's got that. Don't envy. Always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do you see where hope comes from? It doesn't come from comparing circumstances. It comes from when you fear God, there's hope, because I'm in the presence of God, and I respect him, and I'm in awe of him, and I love him. And now joy comes, and hope comes. It's amazing. The fear of the Lord doesn't make you try to clean up your act. It makes you run to him and say, you have to clean up my act, God. I'm nothing without you. I elevate you. You are the answer. You are the only way. You are the only thing that can help me and heal me and clean me. And, you know, as we disciple a lot of college guys, I get to meet with them. I let them know, like, freedom from sin, freedom in Christ really comes not when you clamber to try to climb the mountain or overcome sin or overcome this. It always happens when you just lay it at Jesus' feet and say, I'm a wicked sinner. Unless you save me and heal me and help me, I am going to be enslaved forever. And because you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I fear you. And I don't want anything to get in the way of our relationship. So here it is. It's yours. My doubts, my fears, my road rage in Thanksgiving. It's yours. I'm still working on that. You know, they say comparison is a thief of joy. Have you guys heard that before? And it's amazing because, you know, this is why when you don't fear God, other things can grab your attention. When you don't fear God and are thankful for God, then comparison can be a thief of joy. But if your joy is in the Lord, if the fear of the Lord is prevalent in your life and just bringing joy, and you get to wake up and spend time with Almighty God, and you don't get vaporized in His presence, but you get the fruit of the Spirit, and you get healing, and you get victory, and you get family, and you get love, right? You don't compare. All right, I got three quick C's for you, and then we'll be out of here. Number one, thankfulness is a command. Thankfulness is a command. We're switching from the fear of the Lord to thankfulness. Now, all throughout the Bible, there's dozens of verses that command the people of God to be thankful. Command, not a suggestion, not a good mental exercise, not a good practice, not part of your meditation. It's a command. Here's one. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Has nothing to do with you, how you feel, what you're going through. God is good. If you fear the Lord, here's the command. Be thankful. Have you ever, this is hilarious, but you know like little kids, when you like try to give them something or they want something and they just like grab it and run away. And then the parent has to say, no, say thank you. Say thank you. What are they doing? They have to command their child to be thankful. This is the same thing in the Bible. God is saying, say thank you. It starts here. Hopefully it's in your heart, but it starts, be thankful. Say thank you for what you have. Be thankful to God. Not a suggestion, it is a command. And I remember, it's a command from God, but then it's a command you have to command yourself. I remember I was driving and the road rage was happening and the knuckles were getting white. And, you know, 6 hours, so I had a lot of road rage, you know, in and out, in and out. But there was a couple times I said, Ben, stop, just relax, just be thankful. You're with your wife, you're with your son, it's going to be okay. You're about to get Chick-fil-A, it's going to be okay, okay? But I had to command myself, be thankful. Just stop thinking, it's like I had to gaslight myself. Just shut up, Ben, be thankful. I had to command myself, be thankful. Be thankful. You're not allowed not to be thankful. And this must come first from God, but you must reinforce it on yourself. Nobody can truly make you thankful. You have to make yourself be thankful. It is a command, not a suggestion. And we've heard a lot of sermons on reasons to be thankful. You can look through the whole Bible, and there's so many reasons to be thankful. Do you know what the best reason is? God commands it. Be thankful. Be thankful. Number two, thankfulness is a choice. It is a choice. If you're just waiting for that Hallmark movie moment where the bird lands on your arm and just everything is just right and you feel right and your hormones line up perfectly and, you know, you just get a check in the mail for $1 million. If you're just waiting for that moment, good luck. Thankfulness is a choice. God commands it, but then we choose it. God commands it, but then we must choose it. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Isn't that interesting? You must let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. There's a command. But you have to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I remember when I was very immature in my faith, it was so feelings-based, and I wanted to experience the presence of God or read the right verse, and I was just trying to line up my emotions and experiences. And I remember when the revelation hit me, is just, you can choose to believe the words you're reading. You can choose to say, shut up emotions, I'm choosing to be thankful, I'm choosing to believe God, I'm choosing to fear the Lord, right? I'm choosing to get up and do what I know I'm supposed to do, right? And listen, we're human, we need Sabbaths, we need a break, we need each other, we need community, all right? This is not a just grind it out, okay? But there are moments when you are stuck in the car on 75 going north and nobody is moving and people don't know how to drive. And if you're going slow, just get in the right lane. It's okay. There's this one lady, I honked at her and I went around and cut her off. And it was a sweet pregnant lady. I was like, ah. Thankfulness is a choice. I chose violence. No. You got to choose it. It's a choice. I think if we just stopped trying to line up our schedules and emotions and life and diet and exercise and relationships to be perfect, to insulate ourselves from the world, and just said, hey, here I am, world. Jesus, use me. I'm honoring you. I fear you. I'm going to choose to be thankful with a lot, with a little, when I'm comfortable, when I'm uncomfortable. I choose to be thankful. I think if we did that, life would be a lot better. I choose to be thankful. That's why every Sunday after Thanksgiving, I choose to make this the best Sunday in the history of the world. Let's go. I remember we were so down in Orlando for Thanksgiving, and on Black Friday, we went out to lunch, and Ashley, my sweet wife, she loves hustle bustle. Like, when we do date nights, I want to do date night on Monday night because nobody's out. Even a lot of the boutiques and stores are closed on Mondays, right? It's just quiet. Ashley wants to go on Friday night. She wants to wait for a table. She wants it to be packed, there to be a buzz in the air. So she's like, I want to go Black Friday shopping. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't. That's the last thing I want to do. And so we went to lunch, and then we were right next to Best Buy, which is the perfect place to get a dose of Black Friday madness. And I remember walking in, and it was just crazy, and everyone was actually really well behaved, but there's like a little bit of anxiety just in the atmosphere. It's like, I want to get the good deals. Is there a good deal I don't know about? Right? And you're looking at TVs like, that's an unbelievable TV. Like, I can't afford not to buy the TV, you know? I don't want to lose money here. You know, and you're looking for all these deals. And I remember we saw an air fryer. I was like, whoa, an air fryer. It was down from like $170 down to like $50. And I was like, what? And I've seen like three people grabbing them. And like, I don't want to miss out. And something in me was like this greed was like, I don't even want an air fryer. But like, I need an air fryer, you know? And I was like, I don't even know what to cook with an air fryer, but I can just buy it now, and I know it's healthy, and then I'll figure that out later, right? And thank God, I've learned and I've grown, that I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it, and I realized, okay, I don't need anything. I can be thankful for what I have, right? The world is trying to throw this imaginary need on me. I don't need an air fryer. I've got the stove and the oven, and last resort, we have the microwave. Try not to use the microwave if you can, team. It's not very good for you. Okay, last one. Thankfulness is a challenge. It is a challenge. I think thankfulness is one of the best, but it's one of the hardest challenges we will face, especially in a materialistic culture, because every massive company is afloat and makes money, making us unthankful. And thankfulness combats purchasing and buying and doing and traveling and being. And so thankfulness is a challenge. It's not easy. It's very, very hard. But you need to know that going in. I think if we don't understand how hard being thankful is, I think we'll get discouraged really quickly. But when you realize I'm going to have to fight every single day to fear the Lord, respect him, and out of that, I'm going to have to obey the command and choose to be thankful, even though it's tough, I think it makes it a lot easier. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If someone in here is wanting to know, what is God's will for my life? What job does he want me to have? Who does he want me to marry? What town do I need to live in? How many kids am I supposed to have? Am I going to be a yacht guy or a helicopter guy? Right? Do I like the mountains better or the beach better? Here's God's will for your life. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That's God's will for your life. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. You don't need thankfulness when everything is good. You only need it when stuff is bad. You only need it when times are tough. Thankfulness is a challenge, regardless of circumstances. And I think the Lord, I'll just be honest, I think the Lord is dealing with some deep-rooted anger in my life that just pops up randomly. But have you ever been talking to somebody and it turns into like a little bit of an argument and you just want to slap them? I would never. Praise God. But you want to slap them, you know? Or you just want to just rage a little bit, you know? Not hurt anybody, but just a little bit. And I'm having to understand the challenges in that moment I need to be thankful. That's the moment I need to be thankful. It's a challenge. Now, no one be worried for your safety. I'm not going to hurt anybody, but it's a challenge. Thankfulness is a challenge. And no matter what life throws at you, you need to be thankful, not in any circumstance, but you need to be thankful in the relationship we have with God. Last scripture, Titus 3:3-5. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." This is ungrateful, unthankful, on steroids to the extreme. "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." It's a perfect picture, but I truly believe, and this is my last really point, is that I believe true biblical thankfulness only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. I actually believe in our flesh, just trying harder, it's impossible. Even this morning at 2:30, when the Lord woke me up and convicted me, he brought me to all of these chapters and passages on the fear of the Lord, and I felt his kindness and the power of the Holy Spirit in my man cave, my little office, to lead me to repentance and lead me to the fear of the Lord and be thankful. It wasn't even my idea. The Lord woke me up and said, "Hey, knucklehead, you need to be thankful. You need to fear me. You need to respect me." And so this is not just to try harder. We need to try harder in life. Come on, guys, let's be real. I need to try harder, you need to try harder. But the secret sauce is the Holy Spirit, the power of God, saying, God, if you don't come into my life and even help me fear you, I naturally won't fear you. Did you know God, when he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, Moses led them to Mount Sinai, the place where he experienced the power and presence of God, the place where he saw the burning bush, because he wanted the people of Israel to experience God the way he did, right? And the people of Israel, they refused to go in the presence of God. They said, Moses, you go up for us. And this is what we can do, is we can say, I want my pastor, I want my mom, my dad, I want my spouse, I want somebody else to go into the presence of God, to fear the God, fear God, and I'll just get a little Bible study, a little daily devotion, maybe a little encouragement from them. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord would say that I want, through my Holy Spirit, to empower you to sit at Jesus' feet and have the fear of the Lord and tremble in his presence and realize and understand what a privilege we have that we can be in Christ through what Jesus did for us on the cross. That we don't need a Moses to go for us, that we need to go before God, take off our shoes and say, this is holy ground. God, you could kill me if you wanted to, but I'm your son and I'm your daughter through Jesus' blood, and I need the fear of the Lord, and if you don't give it to me, my wicked heart will never crave it. Even now, there's something in some of you that's pulling you towards, this is, sounds scary, but I know I need it. That's the Holy Spirit pulling you right now. And I believe the Spirit of God wants to touch you right now, today, this morning, and awaken your appetite for the Spirit, for the presence of God, to say, I'm not going to play church. I'm not going to just pretend to be religious. I'm not going to do just enough that I'm going to go to the mountaintop and I'm going to be with God and I'm going to get rid of every sin, everything that entangles and distracts me in this life, because I need to have the fear of the Lord, and thankfulness will just take care of itself. You won't have to worry about thankfulness. I think when Moses was experiencing the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights and his face was glowing, I think he felt pretty thankful. So we're going to have a moment of ministry. So do we have piano? Can we get some piano? Can we give the piano player, whoever this is, a random person, a round of applause? Thank you so much. Wow. I'm thankful for you. That's my wife, if you didn't know. But let's pray. And if you want to come to the front, we have a team. If not, this, the Holy Spirit can touch you right where you are. He touched me at 2:30 in the morning in my own home, and he can touch you. And so I just, let's just have a moment, and let's reverence the Lord together. Let's just take a moment and respect the Lord and love on the Lord and ask him to awaken this, and by his Holy Spirit, give us the fear of the Lord. God, we love you. God, we thank you. God, we honor you. Lord, you are amazing. You are wonderful. Lord, I just can't even believe that you would create a planet for us to live on, that you would give us breath, and that you would love us and have a plan for us, and that you created us for your pleasure, and you are so magnificent, and your ways are so much better than our ways, and your desires for our life are so much better than our own desires. And Lord, you are the one that we need to stare at and look at. Lord, we come to your feet and we just say, you're holy, you're magnificent, you're powerful. I just want to invite everyone in your own heart, if you feel comfortable, just say, God, you're holy, you're amazing, you're wonderful. Just have a fear of the Lord, a respect. And even say, God, help me have a fear for you. Not a unhealthy, scared fear, but a healthy respect and awe. Lord, help us experience your glory and how magnificent you are. Lord, I pray you would shake our worlds right now, that we would just feel your presence. God, I just ask that the spirit of the fear of the Lord would come on this church, on me, on all of us. That the fear of the Lord would mark this church. If you feel like you need to repent because you have not been fearing the Lord, you've not been respecting and honoring, you've been playing church, you've just been going through the motions, you've been taking the Spirit of the Lord for granted. If you need to repent, I just want you to just repeat after me under your breath. Just say, God, I repent for not fearing you, for not respecting you, for not giving you the honor you deserve. Lord, I repent. Lord, please forgive me. Please help me respect you. Please help me honor you. Please help me put you as my first priority. Please help me align my life to the way that you want it to be. And please forgive me, Lord. Amen. Lord, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we don't want to rush this moment. Lord, we're going to stay here as long as you want us. But God, it's all about you. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. You are holy. We honor you. Lord, help us be a church and a people that fear the Lord. Help us be marked by the fear of the Lord. And out of that, be truly thankful for who you are. In Jesus' name.